Good morning and welcome to worship at Holly Grove Lutheran Church. We are grateful for your presence among us today, all of you who are here in person and those of you joining us online. I bring warm and lively greetings from Camp Agape, where I just spent the past week along with five of our middle schoolers. They did beautifully. The week went well. It wasn't without challenges, it wasn't without homesick and lots of tiredness, but they came together as a group and I think developed deepening friendships. They looked after each other, they learned more about who God is and who they are as a beloved child of God. It was a wonderful week, but I bet some of them are at home right now, probably still sleeping, but we had a great week. Lutheran Men in Mission meeting tomorrow night at 6:30. Next Sunday following worship is the July 4th picnic. I think we are asked to bring a dessert and a chair. All the other things will be provided. So that's next Sunday after worship. We have a few birthdays this week. Rex Everhart, Janine Hamilton, Tina Heitman, Jay Proctor, and Joyce Shields. A few anniversaries, Eddie and Tina Heitman, Max and Libby Carrick, and Paul and Carolina Conrad. Let us pray. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand and comfort them when they are discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall, and in their hearts may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. I think that's all for announcements this morning, unless there's something that I'm not thinking of or remembering. Then let us prepare our hearts for worship as we listen to the prelude. Stand as you are able. Blessed be the Holy Trinity, one God whose steadfast love endures forever. Amen. Let us confess our sin in the presence of God and of one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not followed your path, but have chosen our own way. Instead of putting others before ourselves, we long to take the best seats at the table. When met by those in need, we have too often passed by on the other side. Set us again on the path of life. Save us from ourselves and free us to love our neighbors. Amen. Hear the good news. God does not deal with us according to our sins, but delights in granting pardon and mercy. As a called and ordained minister of the Church of Christ, and by his authority, I therefore declare unto you the entire forgiveness of all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You are free to love as God loves. Amen. Grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Thank you. Let us pray. Sovereign God, ruler of all hearts, you call us to obey you, and you favor us with true freedom. Keep us faithful to the ways of your Son, that leaving behind all that hinders us, we may steadfastly follow your paths. Through Jesus Christ, our Savior and Lord. Amen. You may be seated.
The first reading is from 1 Kings chapter 19, and it sort of splits up. Then the Lord said to Elijah, "Go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, you shall anoint Hazael as king over Aram. Also, you shall anoint Jehu, son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And you shall anoint Elisha, son of Shaphat of Abel-Meholah, as prophet in your place." So he set out from there and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, who was plowing. There were 12 yoke of oxen ahead of him, and he was with the 12. Elijah passed by him and threw his mantle over him. He left the oxen, ran after Elijah, and said, "Let me kiss my father and my mother, then I will follow you." Then Elijah said to him, "Go back again, for what have I done to you?" He returned from following him, took the yoke of the oxen and slaughtered them, using the equipment from the oxen. He boiled their flesh and gave it to the people, and they ate. Then he set out and followed Elijah and became his servant. Word of God, word of life. The psalm for today is Psalm 16, and will be read responsively. "Protect me, O God, for I take refuge in you.
I have said to the Lord, you are my Lord, my good above all others.
All my delight is in the godly, and that they are in the land. But those who run after other gods, I will not pour out drink offerings to such gods. O Lord, you are my portion and my cup. My boundaries enclose a pleasant land. I will bless the Lord who gives me counsel. I have set the Lord always before me. My heart, therefore, is glad, and my spirit rejoices. For you will not abandon me to the grave. You will show me the path of life. The second reading is from Galatians chapter 5, verse 1, and then 13 through 25. "For freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit against to a yoke of slavery. For you are called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in one single commandment: you shall love your neighbor as yourself. If, however, you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another. Live by the Spirit, I say, and do not gratify the desires of the flesh. For what the flesh desires is opposed to the Spirit, and what the Spirit desires is opposed to the flesh. For these are opposed to each other, to prevent you from doing what you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not subject to the law. Now the works of the flesh are obvious: fornication, impurity, licentiousness, idolatry, sorcery, enmities, strife, jealousy, anger, quarrels, dissension, factions, envy, drunkenness, carousing, and things like these.
I am warning you as I warned you before. Those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. But by contrast, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh and in its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. Word of God, word of life.
The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 9th chapter. Glory to you, O Lord. When the days drew near for him to be taken up, Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem, and he sent messengers ahead of him. On their way, they entered a village of the Samaritans to make ready for him, but they did not receive him, because his face was set toward Jerusalem. When his disciples, James and John, saw it, they said, "Lord, do you want us to command fire to come down from heaven and consume them?" But he turned and rebuked them. Then they went on to another village. As they were going along the road, someone said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." And Jesus said to him, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." To another he said, "Follow me." But he said, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." But Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but as for you, go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but let me first say farewell to those at my home." Jesus said to him, "No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for the kingdom of God." The Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. You may be seated, and I'd like to invite the children forward for a children's message. Good morning, everybody. We've got Georgia and Ava and Rosalie and Gracie and Gavin and Calvin and Cameron and Kate. Hi, Kate. Good morning, everybody. How are you all doing this morning? Good. Well, I noticed that you brought your stuffies up this morning, and I was thinking about your stuffies, and it reminded me of something that we prayed at camp last week. Do you girls remember how they often closed the prayers at camp? "Lord, it is in your name that we pray and play. Amen." Isn't that a cool way to end a prayer? We often say, "In Jesus' name we pray," or "Lord, in your name we pray." But last week when we were at camp, all the prayers that we prayed, we ended them by saying, "Lord, it is in your name that we pray and play." Have you ever thought about how when you play that it honors God and makes God happy? Have you ever thought about that? I imagine that God just loves to watch you play and be silly, that God loves to watch you run and giggle and read. I think that all of those things that you do, you know, sometimes we think that things about God have to be done here at church. You know, we have to read our Bible or sing hymns or do very specific things connected to God. But did you ever think that playing brings God honor and joy? And that playing is a way that you can connect with God? I think that's pretty cool. So last week at camp, the girls did some playing. They did some archery, some zip lining. You made some friendship bracelets. How else did you play at camp? You went swimming. You played some fun games in the fields. All of those things were playing and enjoying each other and enjoying God and enjoying God's creation. And so last week, it was in God's name that we prayed, but we also played. So when you are playing, think about how God is there with you. And God loves when you play and loves watching you be joyful and happy, and that it brings God great happiness to watch you play. So let's pray. Good morning, God. Thank you for today. Thank you for each other. And thank you for the gift of play. Thank you that no matter what we do, that you are with us, and that you take great joy when we play and when we giggle and when we experience the world you created. Be with us, O God. It is in your name that we pray and play. Amen. Thank you for coming up. You may go back to your seats. Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Those words about play in God's name, by the way, aren't just for children. I think that as we often get older, we forget how to play and we forget how to delight in the Lord. But I think play is a gift that is still offered to us no matter how old we are, and that it is a gift from God that we can continue to enjoy. Well, we are officially in the season of summer. Although we've been experiencing hot weather for some time, summer solstice was actually this past week. And we are officially in the season after Pentecost, which is often referred to as ordinary time. Ordinary time carries us from the day after Pentecost all the way to the season of Advent. It's the longest season in the church calendar, lasting months, not just weeks. The color for ordinary time is green, which symbolizes our growth in faith and discipleship as we follow and live out the teachings of Christ. Advent and Christmas, Epiphany, Lent, Eastertide, and Pentecost all teach us about Jesus' life, from the incarnation when he was born to the time he ascended into heaven and sent his Holy Spirit out to all people, so that we could become Christ's body in the world. The season after Pentecost, ordinary time, is about us sitting at Jesus' feet and continuing to learn from him so that we can more faithfully be his body in the world. And I also think about how God is so present with us in the ordinariness of our own lives. So although at camp last week, the children wanted to come up with a different name for ordinary time because that seems kind of boring, I really love that God is with us in the ordinariness and boring places of life. So today we're returning back to the book of Galatians. We're returning to the Apostle Paul's letter to the church in Galatia. Last week we listened in on his letter as he reminded them that in their baptism they were clothed with Christ and that their faith journey would look like growing into Jesus. Paul reminded them and reminds us that through the gift of baptism, we will spend our whole lives long allowing God to transform us more and more into the likeness of Jesus. And so today, a few paragraphs later, we pick up where Paul is talking about freedom. Freedom, it's a word that we say and love a lot as Americans. In fact, probably over the next week and next weekend, we're going to be hearing this word a lot more than usual. It's something that we cherish, and to a large extent, rightfully so. It's our nation's freedoms that allow us to worship and to teach God's word without fear of governmental interference. It's our nation's freedoms that allow us to choose careers and leisure activities and so many other things in our lives. But the Apostle Paul reminds us in his letter to the church in Galatia that there is a freedom that is far greater and far more important than the freedom that humans can find in any government. There is a freedom that surpasses the freedom of religion and a freedom that surpasses the freedom of speech. And that is the freedom that only God can give. And God gives us that freedom in Christ Jesus. Since there is only one word for these two different types of freedom, we can sometimes get them confused. But the Apostle Paul's words that we read today are a good and necessary reminder of the difference between the two and what the freedom of Christ has given us and what it means for our lives. So to sum it all up in just one sentence, through Christ, we have been set free from our sinfulness to serve one another in love. We are set free from sin to love others. Set free from sin to love others. You see, we aren't set free from sin to do whatever we want to do or to meet our own selfish desires. We can do that with our freedom, by the way, but that's not what God asks of us. Our freedom in Christ comes with a calling. We are set free to love others. We are set free to think of others as better than ourselves. We are set free to put the needs of others before our own desires. And let me remind us all here that as Lutherans, we believe that salvation is a gift from God. God doesn't need us to do anything to earn our salvation because we are saved by grace through faith. However, once we receive God's gift of salvation, which we believe happens in the waters of baptism, we are called to spend the rest of our lives living a life of loving our neighbors. This is not an optional call. It's not a recommended call. It's a call to love our neighbors. And we don't get to pick and choose who our neighbors are. All people are our neighbors. There are no ifs, ands, or buts about it. We are set free from sin to love our neighbors and to serve them in love. Paul firmly tells the Galatians that they are not to use their freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence. When Paul says flesh here, he's not merely talking about the physical body, but our whole self being under the power and the bondage of sin. We reminded our campers last week that God created our bodies, and that God loves our bodies, and that our bodies are good. And so too should we love our bodies and care well for them. So what Paul is saying here isn't that our bodies are bad or evil. What he's saying is that when our whole selves are under the bondage of sin and under the power of sin, we become incredibly selfish. Luther defined sin as being curved in on oneself. Have you heard the term before, that when we are curved in on ourselves, we become navel gazers? We just are so curved in that we can only really look at our navels. We are navel gazers. That's Lutheran humor, by the way. But we are so curved in on ourselves that we can only see ourselves, and we become incredibly selfish. But the freedom that we have in Christ sets us free from being curved in on ourselves. Jesus lifts up our chins so that we can see our neighbors. We can see that they are beloved by God. We can see that they are created in the image of God. And we can love them with the freedom that we have in Christ. Because this freedom, it sets us free from that selfishness. It sets us free from being curved in on ourselves. It sets us free from seeking out and demanding what is best for ourselves before we seek out what is best for others. This week at camp, we talked a little bit about the Ten Commandments. We talked about how there is more to fearing and loving and trusting God above all else than, for example, not killing. So looking around this sanctuary, I highly doubt that any of us would ever kill someone in our lifetime. But that doesn't mean that in not just killing somebody literally, that we are keeping and fulfilling that fifth commandment. Listen to these words that Luther writes in the Small Catechism. So the commandment, you shall not murder. What does this mean? That we are to fear and love God so that we neither endanger nor harm the lives of our neighbors, but instead help and support them in all of life's needs. We are set free from this sin so that not only do we not murder somebody, but so that we can serve our neighbors in love by neither endangering them or harming them, but instead helping them and supporting them in all of life's needs. We are set free from sin. We are set free from our selfishness to love others and serve them in love. How about the eighth commandment? You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. What does this mean? We are to fear and love God so that we do not tell lies about our neighbors, betray or slander them, or destroy their reputations. Instead, we are to come to their defense, speak well of them, and interpret everything they do in the best possible light. Through Christ, we are set free from the sin of telling lies about our neighbors and betraying and slandering them. We are set free from the sinfulness and from our selfish desires so that we can serve others in love, so that we can serve them and love them by coming to their defense and speaking well of them and interpreting everything they do in the best possible light. Brothers and sisters, we have been set free from the power of sin in the waters of baptism. We have been given freedom by God to no longer satisfy our selfish desires and our self-centered motives. We have been set free from Christ so that we are no longer curved in on ourselves. Jesus lifts up our chins so that we can see our neighbors and not only see them, but serve them in love. Hear Paul's words again. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters. Only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence. When you come forward for communion this morning, stop at the font. Dip your hand in the waters. Make the sign of the cross over yourself. And remember that in those waters, God drowned your sin. And that when you were raised up out of those waters, you were risen to new life in Christ. You were risen, and our chins are lifted up so that we can live into the freedom that we already have in Christ, to love our neighbors as ourselves, and to serve one another with the love of God. Just as we've been saying at the end of the assurance, after our confession of sin, you are free to love as God loves. This is most certainly true. Amen.
Let us say what we believe, and living together in hope and trust, let us confess our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He ascended to hell. On the third day he rose again, he ascended into heaven, and is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. United in Christ and guided by the Spirit, we pray for the church, the creation, and all in need. God of faithfulness, set the face of your church firmly on you. Rooted in your self-giving love, may the church find freedom in loving our neighbors. God, in your mercy. God of gentleness, strengthen the earth's ability to heal. Where there are dangerous storms, bring calm. Where there are destructive fires, bring rain. Protect homes, habitats, and livelihoods threatened by climate disasters. God, in your mercy. God of peace, guide all who govern that they place the good of their citizens above self-promotion. Anoint leaders of nations and your spirit of neighborly love. Protect refugees and all who live under the tyranny or conflict. God, in your mercy. God of kindness, reveal your healing presence to all who are sick or dying, especially Dean, Teresa, Jean, Gary and Judy, Bill, Mike, Latifah, Jana, Carrie, Joe, Boyd, and our friends and family listed in the bulletin, and those who we name now aloud on our lips or silently in our hearts. Uphold those who grieve. Support the needs of any who are unemployed, hungry, or have nowhere to lay their heads. God, in your mercy. God of love, attend to those struggling with addiction, depression, or uncontrolled anger. Provide support systems and loving companions as they work toward health, that they may rest in hope and know the fullness of joy in your presence. God, in your mercy. God of joy, we give thanks for all who have died and now celebrate the inheritance of life in you. Keep their examples of faithfulness always before us, that we trust your promises in life and in death. God, in your mercy.
God of every time and place, in Jesus' name and filled with your Holy Spirit, we entrust these spoken prayers and those in our hearts into your holy keeping. Amen. The peace of Christ be with you always.
And also with you.
I invite you to share Christ's peace with those around you.
Oh.
Let us pray. God of love, you called us beloved children and welcome us to your table. Receive our lives and gifts we offer. Abide with us and send us in service to a suffering world. For the sake of your beloved Christ, child, Jesus Christ. Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with
you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and
praise. It is indeed right, our duty and our joy, that we should at all times and in all places give thanks and praise to you, Almighty and merciful God, through our Savior Jesus Christ, who on this day overcame death and the grave, and by his glorious resurrection opened to us the way of everlasting life. And so with all the choirs of angels, with the church on earth and the hosts of heaven, We praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy God, you alone are holy. You alone are God. The universe declares your praise. Beyond the stars, beneath the sea, within each cell, with every breath, we praise you, O God. Generations bless your faithfulness. Through the water, by night and day, across the wilderness, out of exile, into the future. We bless you, O God. We give you thanks for your dear Son at the heart of human life, near to those who suffer, beside the sinner, among the poor, with us now. We thank you, O God. In the night in which he was betrayed, our Lord Jesus took bread and gave thanks, broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." Again, after supper, he took the cup and gave thanks, and gave it for all to drink, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, shed for you and for all people for the forgiveness of sin. Do this for the remembrance of me." We pray for the gift of your Spirit in our gathering, within this meal, among your people, throughout the world. Blessing, praise, and thanks to you, Holy God, through Jesus Christ, by your Spirit, in your church, without end. Amen. Gathered into one by the Holy Spirit, let us pray as Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. In Christ's presence there is fullness of joy. Come to the banquet, for all is now ready. stand? The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen you and keep you in his grace. Amen.
Let us pray. O God, we give you thanks that you have set before us this feast, the body and blood of your Son. By your Spirit, strengthen us to serve all in need and to give ourselves away as bread for the hungry. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you with grace and mercy. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Amen.
Let's remind ourselves of our mission by saying the mission statement. As united people of God under the guidance of the Holy Spirit, our purpose is to provide worship and Christian education and respond in loving action to a needy world.
Peace, love your neighbor.